He has said that this is a system.
Ah!
He has cleverly taken you now, and he's saying this Bhagavad Gita is a system of yoga. So it's Bhagavad Gita is many things. So he's just told you now, one of the things it is, system of yoga. That was not mentioned so far. So this is a system of yoga. And you will learn this when we go to part two of our summary study. There are three yogas that Bhagavad Gita talks about. What? And what's the first one? Huh? Karma yoga. So karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga. Very good. So that's one of the things, because once we finish this introduction, then we're going to study all of the little summaries that Prabhupada has written within the Gita itself, which I have put together as one nice little package, and that will be phase two. Then phase three, we will go through Bhagavad Gita as I have outlined it, section by section, and we will study the verses for each section. If you don't understand, oh my God, this is a miracle. Wow. What do we owe the honor? Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai. We are studying the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. So if you get a book, you can follow along, because we are trying to understand Bhagavad Gita more scientifically. So we're in the introduction, and Meenakshi Vrajarani can show you where we are. Yes, but you have to pay attention. Think. You have to comprehend. This is now college course. You like? All right. Let's go. He tells Arjuna that he is relating this supreme secret to him because Arjuna is his devotee and friend. Okay, what is the next new thing Prabhupada has just interjected about Bhagavad Gita? He just slipped something in. What is it? We didn't get that far. We just read supreme secret. It's a supreme secret. Isn't that in chapter 9, verse 2? Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, right? It's the supreme secret. Okay, let's continue. Because, okay, yes, Arjuna's devotee and friend. Very good. You get points for that. The purport of this is that Bhagavad Gita is a treatise which is especially meant for the devotee of the Lord. So there's another important point. Who's it meant for? Devotee. Now I will ask Nandini Radha. Nandini Radha, according to Lord Chaitanya, what's the bottom line that makes one a devotee? What is the bare minimum that Lord Chaitanya says you're a devotee? What is it? What? Yes, that you chant the name Krishna. That's it. If you chant Krishna's name, Lord Chaitanya says you're a devotee. Thank you. I knew you would know. Oh, look who's over there. Jai. This will, yeah, you. This is going to help you studying for the Brahman test. Because we're going in depth. So you want to attend this class with rapt attention. I'm giving many hints. Okay? There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely the Jnani, the Yogi, and the Bhakta, or the impersonalist, meditator, and devotee. Here the Lord clearly tells Arjuna that he is making him the first receiver of a new parampara disciplic succession because the old succession was broken. It was the Lord's wish, therefore, to establish another parampara in the same line of thought that was coming down from the sun god to others, and it was his wish that his teaching be distributed anew by Arjuna. He wanted Arjuna to become the authority in understanding the Bhagavad Gita. So we see that Bhagavad Gita is instructed to Arjuna especially because Arjuna was a devotee of the Lord, a direct student of Krishna, and his intimate friend. So why wouldn't Krishna explain it to Duryodhan? Right. Let's go down the checklist. Was Duryodhan a devotee of Krishna? No, he was a devotee of Shakuni. Was he a direct student of Krishna? No. And he definitely wasn't Krishna's intimate friend. After all, if Duryodhan was his intimate friend, then why would Duryodhan try to imprison him when Krishna came? Right? Duryodhan had a plan that will capture Krishna. Yes? I was thinking that myself, and I've never read exactly how that is. And you know me, I don't speculate. That would be a good question for your spiritual master, who is much more learned than my humble self. So perhaps you could write him. All right? And then come back and share that with us all at Kundan Loka. All right, let's continue. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is best understood by a person who has qualities similar to Arjuna. That is to say, he must be a devotee in a direct relationship with the Lord. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he also has a direct relationship with the Lord. That is a very elaborate subject matter, but briefly it can be stated that a devotee is in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of five different ways. Number one, one may be a devotee in a passive state. One may be a devotee in an active state. One may be a devotee as a friend. One may be a devotee as a parent. One may be a devotee as a conjugal lover. Who can give me examples of devotees in the passive state? He spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami. I'll give you another clue. They went to Vaikuntha, the four Kumaras. So those are two examples of devotees in the passive state. Now, a devotee in the active state. Give me some examples. Okay, Akura, who else? Uddhav. Not bad. Anybody else? Well, don't jump the gun. What's number three? One may be a devotee as a friend. Right. What's the proof? According to Bhagavad Gita, what's the proof that Arjuna was Krishna's friend? Yes, but you could give an example to prove it. How?
Driving a carrier. Driving carrier.
That's the example. Krishna, right, drove the chariot because of their friendship. And that's a big thing. Here is God, and he's going to drive his devotee's chariot? I thought he was the big... this is a poor example, but it's a mundane, right? You're not going to see somebody like Donald Trump drive the car for his servant. He's not going to do that, right? So here, what to speak of Donald? Here is Krishna, God himself, yet he's willing to become Partha Sarathi. So what would be the only reason that Krishna would do that? Yes, because Arjuna is a soul surrendered to Krishna. What's in it for Krishna then? Why would Krishna, what does Krishna get out of driving Arjuna's chariot? What's in it for Krishna? Why would he do that? What's that? Exactly. Out of love for his devotee. Now here are some devotees from Mexico and Santiago. Very nice. You might remember his name used to be Krishna Book Das. But now his name is... And please introduce your devotee wife. Jai. And I get to meet her mother, right? Your mother's in, yes. When I go to Santiago, her mother always comes up to me. She has a nice devotee mother. Jai. And oh, who is this? Jai Haribo. All right. So we gave an example of the friend. Now, what examples can you give of a devotee in relationship to Krishna as parent? Yashoda, Nanda, Devaki, Vasudev. Actually, you could expand it more. What's that? Ah, yes. But in terms of Vrindavan, your favorite place, you could expand devotees in this parental ras giving other examples. Who? Rohini? Anybody else? Actually, all the elder gopis, all the elderly gopis and gopas have this parental relationship. Not all of them, but many of them also have parental feelings for Krishna. Okay? Now here's the easy one. Krishna Kumar. Devotee as the conjugal lover. Go ahead. Oh. Can't miss that one. Anybody else? Rukmini. Who else?
All the wives.
Yes. All the wives. Yes. And in terms of Narayan, you can give Lakshmi. So, three divisions of this Madhurya Ras. Lakshmi, the queens of Dwarka, and the young gopis, headed by Radhika. Yes? Well, there are so many. He gave Akura.
What's the Hindi word, or Sanskrit word for that?
Madhurya.
No, the first. Active and passive.
Shantar.
That's why I couldn't give the example.
Dasya. Shanta is neutral, passive adoration. Hanuman, excellent example. Hanuman. Yes. And so many devotees, Akura. Well, that's tricky. Some people say he's passive. I say he's active, but some devotees, they say, no, he's, anyway. All right, we good to go?
Yes.
All right, let us continue. Arjuna was in a relationship with the Lord. There's books for you. You should have books. Yes, Nimai should have a book also. Okay. Arjuna was in a relationship with the Lord as a friend. Of course, there is a gulf of difference between this friendship and the friendship found in the material world. This is transcendental friendship, which cannot be had by everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord. Who taught that? Who taught this principle? That everyone has a particular relationship. We learn this from somebody. Which acharya teaches this? Nobody knows? Who? Prabhupada gets it from somebody. Who? Lord Chaitanya. It's Lord Chaitanya. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. Or the other quote of Lord Chaitanya, where he says, love of Godhead is already there in the heart of a devotee, in the heart of the soul. And Prabhupada explains, it's not something to be gotten outside, it's already there. And that's one of Prabhupada's main points when he's talking about how we fell from the spiritual world. We were eternally with Krishna in an active state of service. He uses those exact words. So it's a very important, fundamental idea. Okay, let's continue. But in the present status of our life, not only have we forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Eternal means was always there, it's there now, and will always be there. We have simply forgotten it, which is another big point Prabhupada repeatedly makes, that it's always been there. It's eternal. Every living being, out of the many, many billions and trillions of living beings, has a particular relationship with the Lord eternally. Now, this kind of information thrills my heart. That I have, even me and you, have a particular relationship with the Lord. This is what makes our philosophy personal. You have a relationship with God. It's wonderful. That is called Swarup. By the process of devotional service, one can, what's the word? No, revive that Swarup. Another, that's something that Prabhupada repeatedly uses. Revive. It was there, it was forgotten, now it needs to be revived. And that stage is called Swarupa Siddhi, perfection of one's constitutional position. So Arjuna was a devotee and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship. How Arjuna accepted this Bhagavad Gita should be noted. His manner of acceptance is given in the 10th chapter. Let's do it together. Arjuna vacha parang brahma parang dhamma pavitrang paramang bhavan Purushang Shasvatam Divyam Adi Devam Majang Vibhum Ahustvam Rishayat Sarve Devarshir Naradastata Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishime Sarvametam Ritam Manye Yanmang Vadasi Keshava Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidurdeva Nadanava. Question. Where do these verses occur? After what important section of Bhagavad Gita does Narada say this? Yes! After he hears the four nutshell verses of Gita, that's when Arjuna says this section. It's an important point of Bhagavad Gita where he finally says, Krishna, and it's the first lines, Param Brahma, you are the supreme Brahman. Is Arjuna Brahman? Yes or no?
Yes.
Are you Brahman?
Yes.
Thank you. That's first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Aham Brahmasmi. Right? But Krishna is? Yes. Param Brahma. The supreme spirit. Big point. Shankaracharya's philosophy is we're all Param Brahma when you get out of Maya. Shankaracharya's philosophy is you are Param Brahma, you have forgotten it. When you meditate and you do austerities and you understand Vedanta Sutra, you will realize that you now are Param Brahma. But is that what we say? Will we become Param Brahma in Vaikuntha? Can we ever become Param Brahma? You have passed your examination. You get a gold star. Yes. Now the question is, why would the devotee consider becoming Param Brahma worse than going to hell? Why? What's that?
No service.
Yes. There's no service. A devotee wants service. That's what makes one a devotee. He wants service. And anyway, you all have different service that you like to do. I also like certain types of service. In fact, what I'm doing now, I want to do this forever. Even in my next life, I want to be doing this. This is my service. I love it. I live for it. Okay, shall we continue? Arjuna said, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. And there's a nice verse which states the reason, of course, the demons, we know why they can't understand God. But you might find it shocking. Wait, the demigods cannot understand? And there's a nice verse. And that nice verse is that the demigods themselves made this statement when they were praying to Lord Narayan for him to come and kill the demon Vritrasura. They were worried So when they were offering prayers, one of those prayers was, Lord, we demigods, we cannot understand you. Why? Because we think ourselves independent controllers. In other words, the demigods with their powers and with their great abilities have some ego, demonstrated when Indra tried to destroy Vrindavan. He couldn't recognize that this was his lord and master, could he? And Brahma tried to play a trick on his master. You're not going to go to your boss and hide his car keys as a joke. That would not be a very good idea. So Brahma was trying to trick Krishna, but Krishna tricked him. Indra could not recognize Krishna and tried to harm Krishna's devotees. And when it was all said and done, Krishna told Indra, Indra, you're Indra only because I allow you to be Indra. I can take it all away. So Krishna said, you can go back and be Indra, but don't be puffed up. And that happened, yes. No. Because of his position, that clouded his intelligence. And he couldn't understand that this 7-year-old boy was his boss. And he couldn't understand how Krishna could take birth in a cowherd community. So that pride covered him. What's that? Yes, very good. Yes. Again, he was sitting on the throne with his wife, Shachi, and all the demigods were praising him. His guru walked in, but because he's like, I'm Indra, he didn't get down and offer respects. If your Guru Maharaj came in right now, you're just going to go, hi, Guru Maharaj. Right? You're not going to do that, right? No. You wouldn't do that. Same way, Roma Harshan Sutta was sitting on the Vyasasad. Everybody else got up when somebody came. Who was that? Who came? Balaram. But Roma Harshan was thinking, I'm sitting on the Vyasasan, I don't have to. Balaram said, There is something wrong with your thinking. So that's why Balaram, you're not leaving, are you? Please. Is he okay? Oh, good. Very good. Yes. Let us continue. What's that? Yes, yes. Kuvera's two sons, Manigriva, they were intoxicated. What does, not just puffed up, they were naked, intoxicated, and that made them puffed up. Just like tonight, there are going to be millions of puffed up, intoxicated people driving. Be careful on the way home. Fortunately, we'll be going home at a good hour, because there's going to be so many puffed up, intoxicated people. Jai. Gorni Tai Ki Jai.
Prabhu, just a question.
Yes.
Yes, we are saying, like in Indra's case and Brahma, that they didn't recognize Krishna. But it's not like Krishna tells the other demigod, I'm taking avatar on the earth.
No, but he told them in the beginning. Remember, when they offered prayers at the ocean of milk, the message was, I am coming. I'm coming in the Yadu dynasty. And I'm coming, and you should all appear as my devotees. Expand yourselves. So they were already told.
But who was the expansion of Brahma and Indra?
Huh?
Who was the expansion of Brahma and Indra?
That I don't know. No, they were partially... Hold on. They were to partially expand themselves. So they could still be demigods and still take birth in the Yadu dynasty simultaneously. So this is explained in Bhat. The reason they could not recognize is because Krishna was appearing in the human form. That bewildered them. That became a bewildering thing.
Maybe they are testing that if he's really Krishna.
Yes, but still, he shouldn't have, Brahma shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done it. Who would... Are you going to test your boss?
But I don't know his boss. I'm somebody else. If somebody comes and says, you tell, hey, I'm your boss.
Well,
are you really my boss?
According to Krishna, he did not appreciate. And the main thing with Indra is that he was harming Krishna's devotees. So that was big offense. Right? He was harming the cows and the residents of Vrindavan. And Brahma admitted, when he offered his prayers, he admitted that, you know, the first thing he said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they know, but they don't know. They know.
See, like this Hiranyakashipu, he knows, he's openly saying to Narayan that I'm against you. So he knows that he's Narayan, but
yes, but he doesn't understand what that means. Hiranyakashipu thought he was superior. He doesn't have a... And that's why... that when Hiranyakashipu got killed by Nrisingadev, he didn't think that this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thought he was just killed by some beast. And that's why he took birth as Ravan. If Hiranyakashipu had recognized that this was the Supreme Personality and understood what that meant, he would have gotten salvation. But because he didn't appreciate Nrisingadev in truth, he took birth next as Ravan. And Ram, what did he think Ram was? Ordinary human being. Again, he didn't recognize. So it's not, you have to understand what is God. You have to understand what it means.
But they got salvation, right? Ravan got salvation?
Not Ravan, because he took the next birth as Shishupal. He didn't get wrecked. Again, he just thought Ram was an ordinary human being. Remember, he didn't get protection from human beings and monkeys, thinking them insignificant. Shishupal got first, he entered Krishna's body, then went back to his post as Jai Vijay. Okay? The three births were up. Three births were up. They paid their dues. All right, everybody chant the Mahamantra.